more than a house or car, more than my family. That's just how precious you are, Jesus. I love you more than anything and anyone. Praise God. I want to talk today. Oh, it's already up there, huh? About a love-hate relationship. A love-hate relationship. Now, how in the world is this going to work out? Walk with me and let's find out together. Amen. We are celebrating and we're on the Valentine's Day holiday weekend, and I noticed leading up to yesterday there were some things in certain neighborhoods that appear around this time. There was some space that was taken up on sidewalks, on corners of gas stations, at strip malls, on the corners, with tables, with all kinds of trinkets and doodads, large and small, that one might purchase in order to express a token of love for somebody. And I took a drive this morning on purpose to that same area where I saw on one corner and on another corner and across the street and around the corner, people had set up shop, but no one was there the day after Valentine's Day. No one was there. So you know how that got my mind to thinking. But let me get a scripture in here. St. John, very familiar scripture, chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. I trust you had a nice Valentine's Day. All right. Okay. Just let me say, it's good to show love. It is absolutely in order to show love. Highly recommend it. To show love. To go out of your way sometimes to show love, to express love. Amen? Because that's, God is love. To be quite frankly honest with you, he's pure undefiled love. God's love is not tainted with anything. St. John chapter 3, verse number 16, very, very familiar scripture as we venture onto a love-hate relationship. It says, I have the Amplified Version, it says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. I praise God for his love. I praise God and I thank God for the demonstration of his love. I thank God for the manifestation of his love to the whole world and making it personal for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for a sinner like me. For Jesus dying on the cross, showing the love of God in visible form, demonstrating the love of God with all that Jesus endured in his passion, showing his love to a world that were his enemies. So a love-hate relationship takes on certain connotations. The Bible says that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. Jesus died, the Bible says, that while we were yet sinners, God commendeth his love. God shows clearly. God showed it, and he clearly proved his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. And we have to be clear, if you are a sinner, you are an enemy of God. That has to be clear. It has to be clear, because if we point out the fact that while we were the enemies of God, God showed his love for us in dying for his enemies, then that should heighten the appreciation and the awareness that we have for the very love of God. To die as Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for enemies. We were, as a human race, we weren't thinking about God. We were, an enemy is a hater. We were the haters of God. We were the haters of God. Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp, because sometimes we in our humanness think too much of ourselves. We're not that bad. I acknowledge God. I know God. I know about God. I'm familiar with God. If you're a sinner, you're a hater of God. And all of us were in that category at one time or another. But thank God for his love. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his long-suffering. Thank God for his patience. Thank God for his forbearance, because he allowed us to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He allowed us to hear that God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God allowed the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed to us, and he sent with the message of the gospel. He sent with that faith. He sent us faith to believe it. And when we believed the gospel message of Jesus Christ, when we repented, then we activated that faith, and God sent us the faith to activate it, and we receive the promise. We have received for obeying the gospel and adhering to the gospel. We have received, and we have right now, everlasting life. All that was because of the love of God. The love of God provided full salvation to every born-again child of God. And I praise God for that. Amen. God left us an example how to have a love-hate relationship. Now, some people in human terms have a love-hate relationship, and it jacks things up. It messes things up in our lives. Somebody ought to say something. Amen. If you're dealing in the natural realm, some of us have experienced some love-hate relationships, some toxic relationships, some relationships that we praise God that we're not in no more. Hallelujah. Some one-sided relationships. Some relationships where all you were doing was giving and giving and giving and wasn't receiving nothing in comparison to what you were giving. But praise God, you're not in that relationship anymore. And if you are, run while there's time. Get up out of there. You have to value who you are in God. You have to value who God has called you to be. God didn't call you to be a floor mat or a doormat for anybody. Amen. Amen. But there is a proper love-hate relationship. There is a proper love-hate relationship. When we look at it through the principles of the Word of God, I want to get to that momentarily, because Jesus did some teaching even while he was here. But I want to just for a moment go back to an Old Testament concept when the Lord was dealing with Israel. And I believe one of the Old Testament prophets God used to declare, he said that these people draw near me with their mouths, but their heart is far from me. We have a tendency, or the children of Israel had a tendency to want to claim God. There is some notoriety. There is some notoriety in claiming God, in being acquainted with God, and even being known to other people as the people of God, because God is just awesome, and God can do something, and God does things for his people when oftentimes we don't really deserve the great things that God does for his people, but oftentimes God will just show himself to be God even with our missteps, even with our mistakes and our shortcomings. But God was speaking to he was speaking through the prophets to his people, and God at one time, he got fed up with the pretense of the children of Israel. He said, you draw near me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And God has not changed. He's the same. The scripture said in your Bible, it says somewhere that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we explore this subject of a love-hate relationship, we have to be careful that we don't fall into the pattern of our brothers and sisters, the children of Israel of old. You all look good. I just wanted to, can I throw you a positive compliment? You look good. You're clean, you're well-groomed, you look good. And it's good to look good. But there has to be something more to you than just a good look. You all see this nice, you all see this? This looks nice, don't it? It looks real good, don't it? So a person, now we don't know who this is for this morning, but there, when you see something like this that looks attractive and is decoratively designed, it has a little flair in it and everything, you are expecting that someone who is going to be the recipient of this is going to be pleased. Because from all appearances, this looks like some thought went into the gift. I mean, it has a color that's eye-catching. I mean, the color pops, if you allow me. You can't help but take notice to this. You see the little sparkles? Maybe I hold up close. It got some sparkles on this side of it. And it looked like it's well put together. Nice package. That's how the children of Israel appeared to God. They looked good, on the outside. They had a nice appearance. Sometimes that's how even we today look to God or appear to God. The package is nice, right? And then we even have this nice decorative tissue paper. We got nice. Oh, I mean, you went to the trouble to get me the tissue paper? We got tissue paper, because we want to impress. We want to impress God, or we say we want to impress God. And, see, not only do we want to impress God, we want to impress people who are looking around, and see, they went to some thought, and they got this tissue paper. There's even some more tissue paper. Ooh, you done went overboard now. There's even some more tissue paper. In here. So this builds the anticipation as to what is in that box. Huh? What's in that box? Yeah. My goodness, it's some more tissue paper. My goodness, what is going on, right? Well packaged. Well, anybody would be happy to receive what's in this package. God should be happy when I give him my flowery words, when I give him words of praise, when I give him acts of worship, when I give him acts of praise. This is what, for a moment, the tissue paper represents. These are acts of worship. Now notice I said acts. These are acts of praise. These are acts of adoration, right? These are acts of service. So God, now they look good, because when they were in the package, you were like, yeah, what's going on? All right. So then we get the heart. We deal with the heart, right? Oh, look at the lovely heart. And we do things, or we say things to God in our acts. So one would think, or we would try to make God think that there's something in here with a heart full of praise, right? Right? I will bless thee, O Lord. We will try to make God think that my heart is sold out to God, right? But see, I'm so glad that God looks on the inside. I'm so glad that God is not impressed with mere acts of worship if our heart is not right. So when God opens up, oh God, when he opens up the box, there's a thin cover on the box. So we should be smelling some fragrance of candy. We should be smelling a sweet, God should be smelling a sweet aroma of a life that's dedicated to him, or because we say that we're in love with God. But when God peels back the thin layer and the mask that we say that we are, let me peel this paper back and see the goodies. Oh God, the goodies that's in here. Boom, it's empty. It's empty. Huh? Empty. Huh? It's empty. God's not impressed. He's not impressed with our tissue paper excuses. Huh? He's not impressed. He said, these people, they're close to me in their mouth. Oh, they said a lot of good things. You know, they put in time, but their heart is empty. Their heart is far from me. I was expecting, if you allow me to talk for God just a moment, God was expecting all kind of treats in here. And so were you. You were expecting to see some chocolate. You expect to see some white chocolate, some dark chocolate, the chocolate with the white drizzles on it, you know, the kind with the coconut. You know, the good kind. Yeah, you was expecting, because it still has a fragrance of it. At one time, this was filled with candy. And at one time, our hearts were filled with sincere love and appreciation for God. At one time, we had all kind of sweet things in our life and in our heart for God. But somewhere along the line, the candy fell out. Glory, hallelujah. The candy fell out. And now what we give God, empty promises, empty excuses, and nothing in the box. God said, I'm looking for some candy. Wait a minute, I see a trace. You see a trace in here? There's a little speck. See that speck in that chocolate? Right there is a little speck. God said, I know what I put in you when I gave you the Holy Ghost. So I'm looking for some candy. There's a speck of chocolate in the corner, in the crevice, oh God, of this heart-shaped box. Is there a speck of sincere worship and sincere praise left in your heart to God? Or are you in a love-hate relationship with God? Because God don't dance to your tune, because God don't do the things like you want him to do it. Then I'm taking my box, but I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep doing my service. I'm going to keep my heart closed up. I'm going to make everybody think that I'm still in love with God. God, and I'm gonna make sure that I'm well groomed. I'm gonna make sure that I know how to say the right things. So when you see me, you speak that I'm well packaged and I'm happy in Jesus. I'm gonna know all the church cliches and everything. So when you see me, oh yeah, brother so and so is sweetly saved. No, but look into his heart. Look into your heart. Looks good, don't it? Looks good. But God said it's empty. Ain't nothing going on. There's a trace. There's a trace. That's one aspect of a love-hate relationship. One aspect. One aspect. Now here's something. God told us, as Jesus was teaching, that we have to love God, right? He said in one place, how can you say that you love me and you keep not my commandments? And what I like about the tissue paper, you can almost see through it. So God said, I can see through all that. I can see through it. Sometimes we do things because it is the right thing to do, but not because it's in our hearts to do. And God said, there's tissue paper to me, if you allow me to use that illustration. And I can see through the tissue paper. And if the fire of God would light on the tissue paper would disintegrate very, very quickly. We need the fire of God, not only on the tissue paper, on the whole package. We need the fire of God to ignite that little speck of the sweetness, oh God, of the Holy Ghost that was left in the crevices of that heart-shaped box as a representative of what God has placed in us. We need the fire of God to light that up again. Creating me, oh, I hear the Bible say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So we have to come to God with a heart of appreciation. In Luke, Jesus was teaching in Luke, he said, but I say to you who are listening to me now, in order to heed and make it a practice, love your enemies. Wait a minute now. You mean to tell me I need to love my enemies? Yes, you need to love your enemies. Whose lead are you following? You're following the leading of Jesus Christ. Remember, we said that we were the enemies of God. And while we were the enemies of God, Christ died for us. So if we're going to be in the proper love-hate relationship, then we got to love people who hate us. Glory to God. Yes, we do. And we got to love them with the love of God. Not that human stuff that you can turn on and off with a faucet, but like a faucet. But we got to love them with the love of God. And I heard the Bible said in one place that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So if we have the Holy Ghost, and since we have the Holy Ghost, we have the capacity and the ability to love our enemies. Oh, yes, we do. Jesus was teaching. He said, but I say unto you who are listening to me now, in order to take heed, make it a practice. We got to practice this. Love your enemies. Treat well. Do good to and act nobly toward those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. Lord, you got to help me with that right there. I got to treat them good. I got to act nobly to somebody that's running after me with hatred. Glory to God. I can't do that within myself. The human spirit can't really do that the way God wants it done. That's why I got to love God. I got to love God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. Because if I'm loving God like that, I can deal with the haters. And every one of us have haters because we are the children of God. And the world hated God. And if the world hated God and the world hated Jesus, and we are the representatives of Jesus in these last days, then surely it's going to hate us. We have to make up in our minds that we're going to love them just like Jesus did. We're going to do for them just like Jesus did. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, because I can't trust my flesh. You can't trust your flesh. There's a war that's going on in the flesh, and the flesh likes to protect itself. The flesh likes to defend itself, because the flesh has confidence in the flesh. But I got to hear what the Bible said. He said to mortify the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. I got to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. God's hand is mighty and God's hand is loving. So I got to rest on the fact that through Christ I can do it. I can love my enemies through Christ. I don't want to be stingy right here, so I'm going to share this. We can. You hear what I said? We can through Christ, through the power, through the yielding submission to the Spirit of the living God. We can love every one of our enemies. We can treat them so good. Yes, we can. That God will give us the victory. Now, God might change some of them, but most importantly, He wants to change us. Hallelujah. That's how God wants us to operate. He wants us to operate in the same way that Jesus himself operated. I hear the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the love of God in full effect. That was the love of God in an environment that was hateful and the enemies of God. So God has empowered us with the gift of the precious Holy Ghost. And God didn't take us up out of the world yet. So all the time that we are in the world, we understand that the world is against us. And we are for God. So what we have to do, we have to live in according to the word of God. We got to love those who despitefully use us, who talk about us, who tear our names down. Now, this should only be, we should only receive this from the world. God forbid if we got haters in the family. Glory. Hallelujah. Listen, if we got haters in the family, then the family needs to come to the altar. If we got haters in the family, if we got pursuers, if we got evil workers in the family, then the family needs to sit down around the table. Maybe they don't do that no more in 2015, but the family need to get together and say, look, we're family. What's going on with you? And what's going on with you? Let's sit down and talk about this thing, because the family is supposed to be together. God is not divided. I hear the Bible said there should be no factions. There should be no schisms or divisions in the body of Christ, because love bought all of us in here when nothing else. Somebody wrote a song and said when nothing else could help, it was love that lifted us. So God's love has lifted every one of us and placed us in Christ Jesus. I hear God command us to love one another. You hear what I said? We got to love one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. It'll cover my sin. It'll cover your sin. It'll cover my mistakes and your mistakes. Listen, it's the love of God. We ought to have a love feast every time we get together. We ought to lift up one another in prayer. We ought to encourage one another in love. We ought to be able to manifest the love of God. Every time we get together, we should be swept up in a love atmosphere, because we got enough haters on the outside. The world is against us, and we don't need the enemy or our flesh combating us on the inside. That's a trick of the enemy. I said that's a trick and a strategy of the enemy to get us fighting against one another, because if we spend the energy that God has loaned us, if we spend the time that God has allotted to us fighting against one another, then we will not fight where it really counts. And we got to, we got to take the fight to the streets. We got to take the fight to the world. And when we fight, this is how we have to fight. The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. You got to fight with love. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, you in the midst of haters, but you can't even hate on your haters. You got to pray for your haters. You hear what I said? You got to pray for everybody that's mistreating you. You got to show them love, genuine love, not no tissue paper, not no phony stuff, not no well-packaged and well-phrased stuff, but you got to get down on your knees, first of all, and ask God, search my heart, oh God, and know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from sin and lead me in the way everlasting. When God, because of his love for us, he reveals us to us, didn't get it right right there. And then and only then are you ready to go out and fight like God wants you to fight. I hear the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We can't hit, oh God, nobody. We can't cut nobody no more. Glory. Hallelujah. We can't shoot nobody. But God has given us some weapons. You hear what I said? He's given us prayer. Glory. Hallelujah. He's given us fasting. Glory. Hallelujah. He's given us the word of God, and he's given us the Holy Ghost. When we activate and dust off and clean these weapons and oil them up. Ooh, yes, oil them up with the Holy Ghost. And then we're ready for battle. We're ready to engage in this love-hate relationship. John said, the Apostle John, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but you got to love God. So if I love God and I hate the world, I don't hate the individuals. Glory to God. Let me get that straight. Not the individuals, but the system is what we have to hate. The system is the system of the devil. I hear the Bible said he is the God, little g, of this world. He's the prince and the ruler of the air. But God has so wonderfully and excellently equipped us to fight. Yes, we can fight. We got to fight the right type of fight. We fight with love, because when we go out into the world, it's the love of God, it's the compassion of God that will cause us to break through the enemy's lines and to snatch somebody and change them from a hater to a saint. Glory. Hallelujah. God is sending us on a search and a rescue mission. He said, put your clothes on. Let your feet be shod with the gospel of peace and bring good news to a dying world. Love God. I hear God said one place, if you love your father or your mother or your children above me, you ain't worthy of me. Glory. Hallelujah. Some of us got to take a step back on that one. What you mean, God? God said, I have to be your priority, not your family. Your first priority is God. God said, I bless you with your family. God said, I know the family that I allowed you to be born in. I know the families that I allowed you to form. God said, this is my blessing. But I listen, God said, if you allow me to use this phrase, don't get mixed up in your mind. Or as they say, don't get it twisted. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all that other stuff. God said, I'll give it to you. So we have to operate in love. We got to walk in love. We got to speak in love. We got to live in love in a hateful environment. The world don't mean us no good whatsoever. I hear John said that if you're a friend of the world, then you are an enemy of God. Listen, it's a dangerous thing to be an enemy of God. It's a dangerous thing to go up against God. There is no winning against God. He is always victorious.
And the love of God will cause us to do some miraculous things so that God will get the glory. How in the world could Jesus take all that abuse? How in the world could Jesus allow himself to be whipped, beaten, humiliated, and tortured, and don't say one thing? It was the love of God that kept his mouth closed. Glory, hallelujah, the love of God when we are saturated and endowed and engulfed in the word, in the love of God, it will keep us from acting out of character. Jesus had all the power. I remember he said, think not that I can call my Father and my Father can give me legions of angels to come down here and fix this stuff quick, fast, and in a hurry. But he had a love mission. He had a love mission. His love mission was to be a submissive lamb of God. As a sheep, the Bible said, I think it was Isaiah said, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Love of God can help you keep your mouth closed. Glory, hallelujah, when you need to keep it closed. And love will let you know what to speak and when to speak. Remember, they asked Jesus, I think it was Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus didn't give him a long message. He said, you said it. Glory, hallelujah. See, love knows what to say and when to be quiet. Glory, hallelujah. So when we walk in a love-hate relationship, hate the sin. You hear what I said? Hate the sin. Hate the things that has our brothers and our sisters bound. Hate lying. Glory. Hallelujah. Hate homosexuality. Glory. Hallelujah. Hate fornication and adultery. Hate stealing and gambling. Hate unholy living. Hate lewdness and lasciviousness. Hate it because God hates it. But you got to look through the thing that you hate. Look through the thing that God hates and love the individual that's caught up in whatever they're caught up in, because God himself looked beyond our faults. Yes, he did. He looked past the thing that held us bound, and he loved us when nothing else. You hear what I said? I said nothing else could help but love. God reached down and pulled us up out of a pit of hell. He pulled us up out of sin and degradation. We were in an environment of hate, but I'm so glad that the love of God came walking in. God, Skid Row ain't nothing to God. God said, I'll go down there if that's where you are. Beverly Hills ain't nothing to God. God said, I'll come up there if that's where you are. And when I come, I'm coming in love. Yeah, I know you're stinky. I know you're smelly because of sin. And I know it's hate all around you. But God said, I love you too much to let you stay in that condition. God said, I'm willing to come on down and humble myself and come down and tabernacle with you and show you what God is looking for. So that's what he did. As Jesus Christ, he came to his own creation. He came and lived a life of obedient love for God. He touched people. This is what God is calling for us to do. Cut through the hate. Cut through the stereotypes. Cut through the prejudice and touch somebody with the love of God. Touch somebody with the love of God. Touch somebody. There's somebody in your area. There's somebody in your sphere of influence that needs to be touched with the love of God. Touch him with the love of God. Sometimes you can't physically touch them, but you can pray. Pray. I hear Jesus praying in that 17th chapter. Glory, hallelujah, of St. John. And I believe that we are the beneficiaries of that prayer. Because if we read the text, Jesus was praying for his apostles. Yes, he was. He said, Father, you've given them to me out of the world. He said, they were yours, and you've given them to me. He said, I'm praying for them. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm praying for them, not that you would take them out of the world. This ain't no Calgon. Take me away moment. God said, I left you here because there's work for you to do. You got some love work to fulfill. So he was praying in that 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I'm not praying or I'm not asking that you would take them out of the world. But what I'm asking, Father, is that you would keep them from the evil one. Glory. Hallelujah. And then he went on to say, I'm not praying for these apostles alone, but I'm praying for everyone who will believe on me through their word. Glory. Hallelujah. I think that's where we come in because of the gospel being preached by the apostles and those who were in the early church. It's been going on since then, and thank God that it found me. Thank God that it found you. Somebody had to love God enough in a hateful environment to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has so wonderfully and miraculously set up this plan of salvation that all we have to do is continue to preach the gospel, continue to live for God, continue to walk in love, and watch the ramifications, the positive ramifications. Yes, this world, we're living in an untoward generation. This world is totally against God. But the love of God, it constrains me. I got to love. Oh, God, it's more than a feeling. Love is real. Oh, God, because sometimes we don't feel like doing nothing. I say amen to that. Sometimes we don't feel like it. We don't feel like it. But God, I'm so glad the love of God is beyond feeling. It's more than a feeling. It's a command. God said, love. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. So don't love the world. Don't look for recognition, gratification, or even acceptance from the world. God said, I've chosen you. The scripture says, I didn't get to it, but it's in the notes. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that he has called us the sons of God. And that is what we are, in fact, right now. Because of the love of God. So we have a love-hate relationship. Love God, hate sin. Love the sinner, hate the sin that they're in. We got to wrap our minds around that. We got to wrap our mind around that. Because the sin sometimes pushes us back. And if you allow me to say, the person that's in the deepest sin needs to love the most. They need to love the most. Because if they could do better, they would do better. They talked about Jesus. He's with publicans and sinners. He's supposed to be the Son of God. What are you doing with them sinners? Jesus said, they that are whole don't need a physician. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners need us. They need the love of God that has been put in us. So we're in a love-hate relationship. Love God, hate the world. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Amen? So if anybody asks you, yeah, I'm in a love-hate relationship, explain that to them. They might ask you, how does that work out for you? You let them know, I've been commanded by God to love just like God loves. Amen? I'll stop.